That. We're in a series called Risen. It's kind of based off and off of the movie that's out right now in theaters called Risen. Last week, we talked about what happened at the cross. And a lot of people just see it as a historical event. But really, if the cross was all that it was supposed to be, then it is the hinge of history. It's either the hinge of history or it's the biggest hoax that ever was perpetrated by men. And I believe that everything in history hinges on what happened at the cross. Whether it's the Jewish nation, whether it's the Gentile nation, whatever it is in the history of mankind, it hinged on what happened at that cross. The cross is a significant event. The thing that happened there, it has made the difference in so many lives throughout history. And so we talked about that the cross was a place of redemption. We talked about Mary Magdalene, how that she had been a prostitute and how that Jesus had cast demons out of her. She, you know, we kind of look down sometimes in society on people who are down and out. She was a down and out woman. We don't know how she came to where she was. You know what? And it didn't really matter to Jesus. He loved her. I said he loved her. Are we in the house today? Amen. I tell you what, those men yesterday about shouted us down. We had a great time yesterday, and you ladies, you've been proud of your husbands. I know some of you shamed your husbands into coming. Bless you. I know one that just put a guilt trip on her husband. He showed up a little bit late, and she just put a guilt trip all over him, and he just had a ball. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff today, okay? But Jesus loved Mary Magdalene. Didn't care where she'd been. He didn't care what she'd done. He just had a plan for her, a place to go. And she was one of the ones that stood at that cross. You know why? Because he had changed her life. And I really think that every person that has ever come to that cross in faith has been changed by that cross. What happened on that cross? It's a place of redemption. Number two, we found that the cross is a place of relationship. See, God didn't save us for us to just pray a prayer and then go on with life as normal. He saved us to have a relationship with us. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. That's what he wants. He doesn't want a sinner's prayer. He doesn't want a dip in the tank. That's not what he's after. All of those things may be important and all of those things may be part of the process. But listen, that's not what he's after. He's after your heart. He wants a relationship with you. He wants not just a one-time relationship. He wants an ongoing, growing relationship with you. Not only have we been connected with God through Jesus Christ, that we have been connected to one another as God's family. Did you know that? We are God's family. The church ought to be a family. A family. Our church has become, for this area, quite a large family. And you know, and we need to learn how to grow together and love together and pray together and support one another and hold each other's arms up. See, this is what the message is all about. It's not about just going to church. It's about being the church. Amen. You Amy, you get me excited here and I'll... I was walking on the trail. I started working out in January, and one of the things that I do, the first thing that I do is I get on the treadmill and I turn that up as fast as I can stand it, and I'm on there for 30 minutes. Well, I've got to have something to occupy my mind. And the other day I turned on TV, and Bishop Jakes was on. He was on the And listen, that 30 minutes went fast. The bishop was in the house. The bishop was, and I'll tell you, whoa, he was preaching some stuff. I'm chasing rabbits. Okay, I got to get back on. We're in a relationship with one another. We are. We're in a relationship. We're the family of God. We're here to support one another. Number three, the cross is a place of responsibility. It's a, we have a responsibility, not only to one another as the family of God, but we have a responsibility to the world. One of the things that He has shared with us, He has shared with us His presence. He has shared with us His power. He has shared with us, in fact, what He basically said, He says, I want you to go to the world and I want you to be me. I want you to go into the world and I want you to be me. When people look at you, I want them to see me. Now that's a tall order. That is our responsibility. And the question that we need to ask is, how shall I respond to the cross? I have been redeemed. I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with the body of Christ. But what about my responsibility to those who don't know? What about that? What about your responsibility to those who do not know? So that's what we're going to talk about today. How should I respond to that responsibility? There's a verse in John chapter 14. This is a verse that just bowls me over. It just blows my mind, because this is something that Jesus said. He says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Now what's he saying? That we can do great, we can do the things that he did, and we can do greater things than he did, because he's going to the Father. And he's going to be there for us in the presence of the Father. And he is going to enable us to do the things that he did and the greater works than those. Now, I don't know about you. That just kind of blows my mind. That just kind of blows my mind. There's a story in the New Testament that kind of illustrates this. One day the disciples were in a boat, and they were going across, and they look up, and here comes Jesus, and he's walking on the water. He's walking on the water. And all these disciples in the boat, and one of them says something. One of them says something to him. And we got it here. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Amen. Now, could Peter walk on the water? No. He couldn't walk on the water. Can you walk on the water? Well, if it's ice, if you got water skis, if you got a knee board. No, we can't walk on the water. But Jesus didn't say you'll be able to do what you can do. He says you'll be able to do what I do and greater things than I do. Now, I'm not saying go out here after church and go out above the dam and try to walk on the water. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the whole deal here. If there's a need for you to walk on the water, then I believe you could walk on the water. But the thing that this is saying to us, that our relationship with Jesus will bring us into a place that we can do more than we thought we could ever do. And that's our responsibility. That is our responsibility, because we are filled with the I can'ts. I can'ts. We have something that paralyzes us called a comfort zone. A comfort zone. In fact, in many of our instances as Christians, it has become an idol. It's the idol of fear. And you know, how many times have we said, you know, I can't serve. It might not be safe. People might criticize me. Most Christians don't dream big dreams. You know why? Because it's not safe. Most Christians don't share their faith or take a stand. Why? Because it might not be safe. I might be criticized. Most Christians don't tithe or give cheerfully. You know why? It might not be, help me, safe. Most Christians don't break bad habits, take risks, build relationships, or have adventures. You know why? It might not be safe. See, we live in a safe society. Now, if we look back in Christian history, we would not be where we are today if the early men and women of faith, and I'm not just talking about people that were in the Bible, early men and women of faith throughout our history played it safe, Christianity would have never survived. We can't afford to play it safe. We have not been called by God to play it safe. We just haven't. We haven't been called to play it safe. It cost us. Let me tell you, I want to give you four things that it cost us to play it safe. Number one, it limits our impact. It limits our impact. If you never share your faith, how many people will you lead to Christ? Zero. If you never give, what ministries will be funded? Zero. If you never volunteer, what jobs will ever get done in the church? Come on. Is it zero? How many times do we say, well, you know, Jim will do it, or George will do it, or Ron will do it. I can't do it, but so-and-so can. We play it safe. It limits our impact. Can I just tell you, God's got a plan for you. I say this all the time. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you. It's not about sucking air. It's not about making a living. It's not just about raising a family. It's in all of those, sucking air. You got to suck some air if you're going to stay here, don't you? You got to work if you're going to eat, don't you? You have a responsibility to raise your children. But listen, as a Christian, it goes much further than that. You got to get out of your safety thing. If you're going to have impact, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You got to get out of your comfort zone. Number two, playing it safe shrinks our faith. You can only learn so much by hearing preaching. You can grow by hearing preaching. You can get knowledge by hearing the Word. In fact, we want you to hear the Word. We want you to read the Bible. We want you to come and participate in small groups. We want you to participate in worship services, because you can learn and you can grow, but only to a point. It's not until you take something that you have heard and put it to practice that your faith will grow. You can't play it safe and grow your faith. your faith will shrink. The Bible tells us about a man who hears the word and doesn't do it. He's like a man that kind of walks by a mirror, sees his reflection, and goes away and forgets what he looks like. You're going to learn what you look like when you put the word to action in your life. Number three, playing it safe stunts our growth. Not only does it shrink our faith, it stunts our growth. You know why some Christians haven't grown in years? They're playing it safe. They grow to a particular point and they get satisfied, they get easy, they settle into this little comfort zone that we live in. And God is always challenging us. The Holy Spirit is always pushing us to get out of our comfort zones and grow. I've shared this before, but I like this story, so I'm going to share it again. I want to hear it one more time. But years ago, I felt led to run for a political office. I lived in Batesville at the time, and we had a mayor that was kind of progressive, and I liked some of the things that he was doing, and I just kind of felt like that I was supposed to run for city council. And it's not that they needed me on the council, but I really think that there was something that God wanted to do in me, that a work that he wanted to do on the inside of me. So I thought about that, and I prayed about that, and I thought about that, and I prayed about that. And every time I would think about putting my name out there, it just scared me bad. See, I struggle with self-esteem. I struggle with self-esteem. And there was an area of growth. If I was going to grow a church, I was going to have to grow in my self-esteem. And so God, the thing that God was using to push me in that direction was to get involved in the community in that fashion. But every time I thought about it, fear just paralyzed my heart. And I would think about doing that, and I dreaded it. But I finally made up my mind I was going to do it. I went and talked to the mayor, and I told him what I was thinking about doing, why I wanted to do it, and then I went to the paper, and I announced that I was going to run for that office. Whew. And guess what? I got elected. 2 terms, I got elected and served on city council. It wasn't the fact that I served, and that was part of it, but it was breaking through that comfort zone trying to protect my identity when that's where I suffered. Can I just tell you, many times we are our own worst enemies. And the very thing that we're afraid to do is the thing that keeps us captured in the thing that's bothering us. You're never going to grow in your self-esteem till you get out of your comfort zone. You're never going to be a witness for Christ until you get out of your comfort zone. In fact, you're not going to grow. Your growth will be stunted. Oh. In fact, number 4, playing it safe shrivels our heart. Now, we just did a series on the heart. What is our responsibility to the garden? To dress it and to keep it, to guard it and to keep the process going, the sowing and the reaping, you know, the word in our heart and guarding what comes into our heart. Well, what happens when we don't get involved in anything? What happens when we live a life of playing it safe? Our heart shrivels. It goes backwards. You do not stay the same. God may speak and say, I want you to go on a mission trip. We got a mission trip coming up. I think some of you feel like that you're supposed to do, but you're afraid to get outside that comfort zone. And you say, well, God, I can't. I can't spare the time. God may speak to you, say, I want you to start giving and tithing. And you say, Lord, I can't afford to. Can I just tell you, when God guides, He provides. Every step that we have had to take in this church has been a step of faith. When we decided to build this building, we were on the other side of town. We were next door to Cowboys. We were in this church that housed us just fine. Our 60 to 90 people just fine. Our building was paid for. We didn't have very few expenses. But we weren't growing. And you're talking about comfort zone. How many of you know when you don't have payments? That's comfortable. Okay? There were not that many risks. And I never will forget the board meeting that we were in. And finally, I said, you know, people, the board would keep bringing up, what are we going to do? Do we need to build? And I said, let's build. And just something broke. And we took a step of faith and we built this building. There was about, 80 or 90 people that we moved over here when we moved in 1999. If we had not moved over here, if we had not taken the step of faith to build this building, we wouldn't be where we are today. We'd still be struggling. God may say, I want you to talk to that person about me. And you said, Lord, I can't. I'm afraid. What will they say about me? I want you to ask for forgiveness from that person. I can't do that, God. How many times have we said that and it keeps us from growing? In fact, it causes our hearts to shrink. God may say, I want you to lead a small group. I can't do that, God. I don't know how. He may say, I want you to work with the junior high students. You say, oh my God, you got to be kidding. Hey, are you with me today? See, taking steps of faith opens the door, and it's the alternative to the boredom and stagnation that cause most people to wither up and to die. Let's talk about five steps to breaking free from the idol of safety. See, all of us have vast reservoirs of full potential, but the roads that lead to those reservoirs are guarded by the dragons of fear. Anything that you ever do for God, you're going to meet the dragon of fear. You're going to face fear. I did not want to be a preacher because I did not like talking in front of people. I was so shy. I was so backward. I had no self-esteem. And if somebody told me that one day I would be, last Sunday we had 526 people here, and if somebody told me that I'd be speaking to over 500 people, I'd say, you are out of your freaking mind. I'm not speaking in front of nobody. You're talking about fear. I was in a revival one time as I was, Kathy and I were dating at the time. And we went to this revival at our home church, Asbury United Methodist, and we had this preacher. His name was Wayne Edwards. He wasn't like any Methodist preacher I'd ever seen. He played the guitar, he sang, he preached, he'd make your heart burn. After the service one night, he pointed his finger at me and says, boy, the call to preach is all over you. Tears just started coming down my eyes. I knew he was right, but I knew, God, I can't do that. I know you're not going to believe this. I did surrender to preach. Oh, you believe that? Because here I am. But my first sermon was at Asbury. It was at my home church. And I studied for weeks. And I thought, my gosh, I'm so full. I will preach for hours. I lasted 13 minutes. I told them everything I knew in 13 minutes. Now, I know that that's hard for you to believe, okay? Because I can preach for hours now. But we got to break free. And you got to walk through fear to do that. Number one, here's how we break free of that fear. Stop saying no to everything just because it's scary. See, the first answer of fear is always no. I can't. And we make an excuse. I don't have time. Well, you find time to do the things that you want to do. You find time to do things that are not even important to do. Don't say no to something just because it's scary. I like this saying. It says, fear is the dark room where negatives develop. Fear will cause you to miss the best thing God wants you to do. I can't imagine doing any other thing than what I do. But this is not what I wanted to do. And I can't imagine what my life would have been like if I haven't done what I'm doing now. I love it. I love it. I wouldn't trade places with anybody that I can think of. I wouldn't trade with Joel Osteen for nothing. I like being right here with you. This is what I was made for. This, you know, I love what I do. Start praying some dangerous prayers. Number two, Lord, start with this one. Lord, search my heart. Look at my heart. Look at my motives. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in your way. Lord, open doors for me to speak to people for you. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Scare yourself with some of your prayers. Don't be afraid to pray some scary prayers. Number three, get your wallet out. You know why some people don't prosper? There's two reasons. There's only two reasons that people don't give. Number one, and surely this is none of you, stinginess. Stinginess is a heart problem. Number two is fear. That if I were to tithe, I don't know whether I could pay my bills or not. In fact, I don't see any way that I can pay my bills if I do what God said for me to do, and that's to tithe. Tithing is scriptural. Giving offerings is scriptural. How do you think anything happens? It's by people's giving. We don't have anything in this church that pays for itself. Everything that's paid for in this church happens when we pass these buckets. We don't do fundraisers to do budget. Now, some of the kids do fundraisers to go to camp and stuff like that. But I'm talking about every ministry that we fund. Children's church does not pay for itself. Youth ministry does not pay for itself. Celebrate Recovery does not pay for itself. None of it pays for itself. It all costs. And where does it come from? It comes out of your wallet. It comes out of your pocket. And part of our community together is that we have a responsibility for all of us to give towards that by tithes and offerings. Oh, but that preacher just wants my money. You got a heart problem. Well, I'm afraid. It's still a heart problem. It's a faith problem. It's a trust problem. And here's my challenge. Get your wallet out. God, in fact, God said, prove me. Prove me. All right, you may be thinking, all right, Pastor, move on to the next. Okay, I will. Number four, stop watching and try living. Stop watching and try living. Get into the game. Quit being a spectator and be a participator. Amen? Amen. Number five, realize what's at stake. There's a story in the Old Testament. It's the story of Moses. Moses had had a bad experience in Egypt. He found himself running from Pharaoh. He found himself as a shepherd on the backside of a desert. And then he sees this burning bush on this mountain. And he goes up and he talks to God. And God says, Moses, I'm sending you back to Egypt because I've chosen you to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. Their heart has been crying to me, and I have chosen you. What's the first emotion that come to him? Fear. You know what he said? God, I can't talk. I stutter. And God said something to him, and he said, well, Lord, I can't cause... And he made excuse after excuse after excuse. How am I going to do this, God? And God said, what's in your hand? He says, a stick. He said, throw it down on the ground. He throws it down on the ground. It becomes a snake. God said, take it up. If that had been me, I said, get behind me, devil. So he takes it up and it becomes a stick again. And God asked him the question, what's in your hand? Anything that God asks us to do, you'll not see how we're going to get it done. The only thing that God wants you to do is take what's in your hand and let Him anoint it and let Him use it, and you can accomplish more than you thought you ever could. And you know what? Moses did that, became one of the giants of the Bible. Just simple obedience of taking what was in his hand, obeying God, taking the next step, not being controlled by living in the safe zone. See, God is calling us as a church to get out of our safety and into the race. Amen? Oh, my. Okay. Praise God. Oh, so what are we going to do? So here's your deal. You can go away and say, Pastor, that was a good sermon, but, and nothing will change. You got to make a decision to quit living in the comfort zone. You got to be willing to get out of the comfort zone and let God take what's in your hand and use it for His glory. Stand with me. We're going to worship. I want you to talk to God. If you need prayer, our prayer team is coming. And most of all, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you can know Him today. That is the biggest thing you're going to have to get up. You're talking about a comfort zone. Well, what will people think if I go up there and ask Jesus into my heart? They'll think that, praise God, that's the best thing that you could ever do. That's exactly what they'll think. So if you need that today, you feel free to come. We're going to worship. Father, thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us today. Guide us, direct us, show us the areas where we're comfortable and shake us out of those comfort zones that we may accomplish for you in Jesus' name. Amen.